Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational digital magazine for women since 2006. You know, for 13 years, I've been putting out content, whether it's through this radio show, the books, or the magazines I publish. Hell has one mission: to inspire women to live from the inside out, to inspire them to live deeper, more inspired, and authentic lives. And, you know, sometimes to do that, we got to dive deep into the muck, right? And I know I have had to get where I am today. And one of the topics that has come up quite a bit with my audience and in my own life is anxiety. And come on, it's a topic we hear a lot about, right? And most likely you or a loved one have struggled with it. Well, that's why I'm excited to bring you today's guest, Amy B. Scheer. She's the best-selling author of How to Heal Yourself from Anxiety When No One Else Can, in two other books. As an expert in mind-body-spirit healing, Amy uses energy therapy techniques to help those experiencing emotional and physical challenges to move on and heal permanently and completely. Amy has been featured on CNN, The Washington Post, CBS, Cosmopolitan, The Los Angeles Review of Books, and more. She lives in New York City, and I love this. She lives by her self-created motto, "When life kicks your ass, kick back." Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
Amy, this is a topic that has always resonated with both my magazine audience as well as a lot of the master classes I do. And come on, I know I've struggled with anxiety, especially in my 20s and 30s, and I don't know anyone, actually, that hasn't at some time or another. So talk about your journey and what led you to this transformational work you're doing now.
So what led me to this transformational work, which I think is the same kind of thing that leads everybody to whatever work they do, is that I had a personal experience of chronic illness and anxiety myself and went through years and years of trying to kind of tame anxiety and heal my physical body and sort of, I like to say in a very lighthearted way, get myself together, because I had so many physical ailments and then also felt like, just at a deep core level, didn't feel safe in the world, felt like I was on edge all of the time, many things that we describe as anxiety. And you know, I went through at first for my physical challenges and my emotional challenges. I went to therapy. I did medication when I was younger in my 20s. And eventually I came to the realization that I really had to look inside, that my body and my heart and my mind were telling me at some level that something wasn't right. And when I started to delve deeper into my own healing and sort of my inner landscape, I realized that anxiety wasn't what I thought it was and what everybody says it is, which is typically described as fear. I had done so many things to address fear, yet I was still very, very anxious. And what I discovered was that anxiety is more a result of the real problem, or a symptom of the real problem, of suppressing our emotions. In other words, anxiety is not just fear. Anxiety happens when we feel anxious because real emotions, true emotions that we're having, like anger, guilt, it can be fear, and really any emotions, are trying to bubble up and out of our body. And when I realized that anxiety doesn't just equal fear, that it's more of a pattern of suppressing a variety of emotions that causes us to feel anxious, I went and started to work on things from that level, which is when I ended up healing myself completely and permanently. And so this is what I'm sharing with people who have been out there feeling like, I have anxiety, I have anxiety, I have anxiety, and nothing's working. And just to give them a new perspective about what anxiety really is and how to address it.
So in your book, you share that it comes from a lot of long-held patterns in the body, right, of suppressing emotions. And I think so many people can relate to suppressing emotions, right? Can you talk a little more about that and what you discovered on your journey?
Sure. So suppressing emotions is something we're all very good at doing until it doesn't work anymore and we end up anxious or sick or something and we realize we can't do it. But our tendency, you know, I think from the time we were little is to express our emotions. And as we get older, you know, we get in trouble for doing that or we get judged or we tell ourselves, you know, that's silly. Don't be mad at that or don't be scared of that. And we sort of get talked out of feeling and expressing our emotions. And over time, and I think some of us have more of a tendency to do this than others, but over time, those emotions can really get lodged or stuck in the body. And the more we push them down with either medication or distraction or whatever it may be, the more they try to bubble up. And I think we probably all know by the time we're adults that ignoring something never works to make it go away, right?
Exactly.
So, eventually, this is what happens is we feel really anxious and we start to say, I don't even have a good reason. I'm anxious for no reason. I'm depressed for no reason. I don't feel right for no reason. And the reason is that over time, over months or years, we've perfected this pattern of stuffing everything down. And all of that stuff is really trying to bubble up and come out and move out of our body. And so it can be, you know, like I mentioned, most people think anxiety is fear, but I definitely in my private practice working with clients see just as many people that experience anxiety because of suppressed anger or suppressed worry or suppressed guilt or suppressed loneliness. It can be any emotion that you don't feel, acknowledge, process, express that causes anxiety. And so my work is all about teaching people to connect to what that really is. What happens when we talk about we have anxiety and we call it that, we're not being specific enough. We're never actually addressing the root because anxiety, as I see it, is sort of the side effect of the problem. Now, of course, there are, you know, medical conditions that can, you know, exacerbate anxiety or create anxiety. We're not talking about those. We're talking about, you know, people who are physically healthy that have already checked with their doctor that have not found a quote-unquote cause for anxiety. And I also feel like, you know, having been somebody who had many physical conditions that did have real diagnoses and names and, you know, and things like that, the anxiety, I feel, was always there first. And over time, what anxiety and stress and suppressed emotions do to your immune system and your nervous system can then end up creating physical challenges and yet more anxiety.
I know it's a never-ending circle, right? Because it manifests in the physical after a while because we're mind, body, spirit, as I described in your intro. We're not just one of the three.
Absolutely. And I think so many of us, you know, come from maybe an upbringing where we either, you know, run to the doctor for everything or do something in a way that once we get older, we kind of realize, wait, that doesn't always work, that it is important to integrate mind, body, and spirit in order to really, truly, deeply heal. And that was my own experience.
And how long ago, when did you have your, you know, that moment you realized you needed this new approach to healing?
So I realized I needed this new approach to healing in probably about 2007, 2000, about 2008, when I had done sort of every treatment under the sun for every condition that I had, and nothing kept me well. Some things would help, and I would think, oh, great, I'd pass this, and then I would relapse. And so it wasn't really until I dealt with the emotional aspect of things that my body healed completely. And it was sort of really it wasn't, you know, it wasn't even like a conscious, it wasn't a way a conscious choice to deal with my emotional stuff, but it was also just process of elimination. I kind of looked at myself and went, wait, I've done every single thing that every doctor has told me. I've done every supplement, every natural treatment, and nothing is working. I had, you know, I was diagnosed with chronic Lyme disease, which really infiltrated my whole body. So I had arthritis and neuropathy and brain lesions and chronic fatigue and digestive issues. I mean, I had everything and I did all the best treatments and nothing worked. And it was really that sort of realization that if the best medicine can't help me, then my body alone did not create this. And that's when I started to look at the, you know, quote unquote anxiety that I had always felt and resonated with and dug a little bit deeper into what it could be, because I had certainly felt like I addressed fear, which is again what I thought anxiety was. And it turned out that once I started looking at other emotions I had suppressed, that's when I sort of hit my jackpot of healing.
I love that you, it's almost like layers. You looked at all the layers, but you had to really get honest with yourself too, right? And say, okay, what haven't I been looking at? And I think emotions are the last thing any of us want to look at, or the wounds of the past.
Yes, it's so true. I think one, you know, many people have been to sort of traditional therapy and maybe don't resonate with that. And I think, you know, talk therapy or behavioral therapy is great for so many things. But at some point, some of us feel like, we've talked about it so much and we're not feeling better. And sometimes you need to talk about it, but then also find a way to release it from the body. And so I feel like, you know, there are so many different ways to address things, and emotions, you know, emotions are very complicated in a lot of ways. How do we, you know, how do we figure out what they are and which ones we need to release and how to release it? And that's sort of what I ended up figuring out with my work. But I think, you know, there's also the fear that we could be to blame, right? When we take responsibility or ownership of how we feel or what's going on, then we feel like, you know, maybe defensive, like it's not my fault. It's not my fault. And I know I certainly came to self-healing, I feel like a little bit late in the game, because I was always very defensive about feeling like things were my fault. And I think in the, you know, there are so many amazing spiritual teachers out there, and most of them are teaching responsibility, that we create or we are co-creators in what we manifest. And that can be amazing, but it can also feel really scary and sort of like we're being blamed. And personally, I had to get over that myself. I think for so long, I pushed away my willingness to look at my emotions and some patterns in my life, because I kept saying, it's not my fault. I didn't do this. You know, I was bitten by a tick. I got Lyme disease. None of this is my fault. And at some point, I really had this epiphany that if I was going to get better, I had to be okay with taking responsibility. And, you know, I still feel like it wasn't my fault, but I also came to the realization, who cares? Who cares whose fault it was at this point? I just want to feel
better. Exactly.
And having that lighthearted attitude about it really, really helped me heal. It was like at some point, I don't even care if it was my fault, which, you know, I still don't think it was. But even if it was, who cares?
That's a great way to look at it. And we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I want to talk about how can people pinpoint what it actually is causing their anxiety. I'd love to dive into that even more. And we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. This is Linda Joy, and I'm with Amy B. Scher. You can learn more at amybscher.com. We'll be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you tired of sitting on the sidelines of your life? Do you feel disconnected from your truth and inner joy? Are you ready to start marching to the sound of your own drum instead of living on autopilot? It's time to start consciously creating your life from a place of personal power and to accept the support you need to create and live your authentic life. Coach and international best-selling author Felicia Baucom specializes in empowering women to march to their own drum and create their own unique path to happiness. Felicia has a gift for balancing grassroots pragmatism with the spiritual side of life. She inspires women to connect with their inner rebel so they can uncover the next chapter of their lives. Visit MarchToYourOwnDrum.com today to schedule your complimentary Heart's Desire breakthrough session.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is the best-selling author of How to Heal Yourself from Anxiety When No One Else Can, Amy Scheer. So, Amy, sharing your journey, I love hearing from teachers who've been through it, right? Because, for one, I believe that makes you an even greater healer because you have the empathy and the compassion for someone that's been there because you've been there. So right before the break, you were telling us how your journey unfolded. How can people begin to pinpoint what it is that's actually causing their anxiety? Because something you said at the beginning of the show when you said, a lot of us, we say, oh, I have anxiety. It's like we're labeling it, but we're not really trying to see what's the cause of it. It's almost like we're claiming it.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I have people do is challenge themselves not to use or call anxiety an emotion, because what you're saying is absolutely true. We label it, and then we just keep using this word anxiety, but we don't look at what's under it. So what I like to ask people to do when they're feeling anxious or when they have, quote unquote, have anxiety, is to stop for a second and say to themselves, if I had to identify a real emotion that's under this anxiety or causing this anxiety, what would it be? And that simple question of just asking your body or your subconscious mind or your higher self or however you want to phrase it, just asking your body for something more specific can be hugely helpful, because part of what the body wants is to acknowledge our emotions. That's part of what we all want. And so what happens when you keep calling how you're feeling anxiety, 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 is the real emotions under it aren't getting acknowledged. So they keep bubbling up and they keep sort of pushing against you, which creates that feeling of unease and anxiety. And so asking your body really, or asking yourself, if I had to find a real emotion under this anxiety, what would it be? What would I really be feeling? And that will start to reconnect you with the real emotions that are trying to come up and out.
Oh, I love that. It's like really tapping in and listening.
Yes, and it's so easy.
Yeah, it is. And for me, in my 20s and 30s, I'm 50, going to be 57 now, I see that I was labeling it, which I think kept me owning it instead of looking at it. It was like, oh, I have anxiety. This is what it is. And I don't want to say it became an excuse, But I wasn't led to dive deeper. And I did all the talk therapy and all of that many years ago, but everything that you're talking about, the mind, body, spirit, and diving deeper and listening to the wisdom of your body, your inner wisdom, that's how it shifted for me too. So I love hearing how you describe the process of just being still, and
different emotions can create that feeling of anxiety in different circumstances. So it's good to get a practice of asking multiple times throughout the day, what am I really feeling? What's under this anxiety? Because there's not one cause for anxiety. It's typically, like I said, a general pattern of suppressing emotions, which means at 10 o'clock this morning, you could have been suppressing anger that's causing anxiety. And by noon, you could be suppressing sadness that's causing anxiety. And by 3 p.m., you could be suppressing something else. So it's sort of suppressing individual emotions throughout your life that causes this. So what can help is to, when you're feeling it, instead of walking around pacing in the house, I have anxiety, is to start becoming more aware. And many of us know that when we face something, a lot of times it just moves on through. And so if you're really calling it what it is, which is the individual emotions, it will move through and flow through your body much more easily than when you're not sort of calling it out and acknowledging it.
Yeah, and not just not labeling it is a big thing.
Yes.
And tapping in, for me, it's exactly what you said. Some days it could be, okay, my schedule's a little hectic, so I would call that overwhelm. So I'm in overwhelm. I don't have anxiety. If I dive deep, it's like, okay, your schedule's a little too full today, Linda. That's what's causing it. So it's like,
right. You're
asked, dive deeper.
Exactly. Dive deeper and be willing to see things for what they are in the moment. That's a really great example. Overwhelm today could be causing anxiety, but tomorrow you could be mad at, you know, a friend for saying something silly that you didn't confront them about, and that could be causing anxiety. So again, it's just a general pattern of suppressing how you really feel. You know, our emotions are so complicated, but they're also so simple that I feel like half of our, you know, struggle with emotions could be resolved by simply acknowledging how we feel, that just allowing ourselves to feel how we feel at any given time would help so much.
Oh, I believe it. I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier when you said you struggled with chronic Lyme disease. As you started doing this work with your emotions, did you notice a reduction in your physical symptoms with something that's an actual physical ailment?
Yes, and that this work is the only thing that made a difference for me permanently. So like I said, I had done, you know, several treatments. I even went all the way to India for an experimental stem cell treatment. When I say I did it all, I did it all. And, you know, I would have times of reprieve, but then I would relapse. And what really, really made a difference was doing this emotional work and releasing the anxiety and everything that was under it. And we, you know, I think science has really shown us now that our emotions have a direct impact on our immune and nervous systems. And I believe that releasing the emotional energy from my body lifted enough of a burden that my immune system and nervous system could finally completely and permanently repair themselves. Whereas before, that was acting as a real block. I was getting great natural and traditional medicine over a period of, you know, almost a decade. And you know, nothing was helping completely. And this shows the power of our emotions. And, you know, we talk so much about stress. And I feel like, you know, stress, day-to-day stress, how much we have to do, that stuff doesn't have as much of an impact in terms of our physical health as suppressing emotions and, you know, being a perfectionist or beating ourselves up or the emotional, we're really emotional beings, and ignoring that is sort of a faulty way to seek true health.
I love it, and I love that you're teaching others, you know, that in your practice, What would you say the majority of the people in your private practice, do they come because they're physical ailments, which are the, you know, now are manifesting, or do they come to deal with the anxiety? Like, what leads them to you?
I have a mix, but the majority of people have manifested some kind of physical condition. And I think that the reason that that's sort of the type of person I get is because we typically don't stop our lives to look at ourselves until something like that happens. And I was probably
guilty of that. No, so true.
So yeah. I think that, you know, people that have fairly good physical health and are experiencing anxiety, you know, I feel like it's not as much of an emergency sometimes as once it hits your physical body, it gets extra scary. And really, it's all the same thing. But once you've experienced anxiety for a very long, you know, prolonged period of time, and actually it doesn't have to be very long, even a few months can really disrupt the digestive system. But, you know, that's when, you know, I feel like people turn to this work because, like you said, it's what we typically do last. And a person with physical challenges has typically been to lots of different doctors and tried lots of different things. And then at the end of the road, if nothing has really helped them, they go, okay, I guess I'll do the thing I didn't want to do, but maybe it'll help. And it's ironic because this, in my experience, this is the most affordable, most effective thing you can do for your health. And I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on medical care, you know, had to fundraise and my family helped me. And then at the end of the day, this work that is essentially free, except maybe the cost of a book, or if you need some guidance, a couple of sessions with a practitioner or whatever it may be, it's essentially free to do. And then once you know it, once you know how to use these techniques that I created and teach, then you're done. Then forever you have all of this to help yourself and you never feel powerless again. And so, but it is kind of an oxymoron that we all come to the easiest thing last, because in some way it's the most work, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And something that you just shared resonated. We are emotional, physical, and spiritual, but it's so funny. We will work on our physical and ignore the emotional, spiritual, not realizing that the emotional, spiritual, when you ignore it, is what causes the physical. So it's almost like we were just kind of brainwashed of just deal with yourself physically, and we run to the doctors and get pills and all this, but we don't look at the whole picture of the essence of who we are. And I know for me, that was my story back then, you know, and it wasn't until I saw that we're three parts. So I'm loving this conversation. We're going to take a quick break, and I'll be back with Amy Scheer. Be sure to visit amybscheer.com to learn more about how to heal yourself from anxiety when no one else can, and her other books and the extraordinary work she's doing in the world. We'll be back in a moment.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Experience a homecoming to your heart. In the foreword of Dr. Deborah Riebel's new book, Being Love, How Loving Yourself Creates Ripples of Transformation in Your Relationships and the World, Marcy Shymoff shares, the answer to our inner longing isn't finding love, it's being love. The practices that Dr. Deborah presents in Being Love are keys to opening your heart and receiving your divine birthright as a physical manifestation of love. Her techniques, developed over years of successful private practice with her clients and from her extensive training in multiple disciplines, are accessible, compassionate, and effective. Her message is powerful, and if you allow it, will change your whole life. Order your copy of Being Love today at beinglovebook.com and receive over 45 transformational gifts. Being Love is brought to you by Inspired Living Publishing.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspire Conversations. Welcome back. So, Amy, one of the things that I noticed many years ago, and it just resonated with your story about Lyme disease, I was 40, so this is 17 years ago. I was one of those living on 6 coffees a day, running a different business than I have now, and had a mini stroke. At that time, they were telling me it was possibly MS or advanced Lyme disease. So it's so funny how our stories relate. But I remember being on the sofa one day, frightened, anxious, not knowing what the future was, and something dropped down into my awareness and said, "You are not this label." I didn't even have all my test results back, but it was a knowing that I am not this label. I am not going to say I have one of these. And that started me on a whole new path. And today, back about 2 years after that, I told them, "You take all that stuff off my medical records because I don't have that." And I've been symptom free. Mm-hmm. Now, was it a fluke? Or are you finding, I know from your research, you found many cases where when people dealt with their emotions and their anxiety, their body healed. I know it's not just you and I that have experienced this. Have you found that in your practice?
Yes, definitely. I mean, sometimes I get clients who've had, you know, something for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, and this work really helps to transform their health. And even though it doesn't surprise me, it still amazes me all the time. And even though I know that it happens and I experience that, I'm still just every time it happens, I'm still so amazed. And I feel that, you know, people are becoming more and more aware of how this work can have a positive impact on their healing. And I even think, I mean, the majority of my referrals for clients comes from physicians, which would have never been true 10 years ago. And so I think even, you know, physicians are, and other types of practitioners are really understanding that it takes everything. It takes everything to heal. And even if you have a physical ailment that does have, you know, a diagnosis, or you have some, you know, a back problem where it does show up on your x-ray or blood tests where this thing is wrong, we're not denying that there is that aspect of it, but clearing out what came before it can really help the body heal. So I've had doctors who send clients to me because they have elevated liver enzymes, and doing emotional work makes a huge difference to bring them back to normal. Or, back problems or severe digestive issues. Really, anything that you're experiencing has the opportunity and the ability to be helped when you access your emotions. And when people, you know, email me and say, you know, "I have this disease, have you ever heard of it?" I always say, it doesn't even matter what the doctors call it. We're not treating any disease or disorder or anything like that. All we're doing is clearing the emotional burden in your body so that you can be in full healing mode. That's all we're doing. The name for it, the symptoms for it, none of that matters. We're just clearing all the old stuff out so that your body has the best chance at healing as quickly as possible.
So let's talk about that, because I'd love to know more about the energy therapies that you use and how they're different from talk therapy.
Sure. So my work is all based on the energy body, which is sort of the basis of Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine. So when you go to an acupuncturist, they are working with sort of acupuncture points, which are access points into the energy system. And we all have an energy system. And when that system becomes imbalanced, what can happen is we can create physical and emotional symptoms. And energy therapy helps release emotional blockages in that system so that all your energy can flow freely through your organs, glands, and muscles, which can really help eliminate physical and emotional symptoms. And so my work is all about techniques that help us clear stuck energy from the energy body or energy system. And some of it, you know, requires tapping on different parts of the body with our fingertips. Some of it is, I have a technique, which is one of my favorite that I created, called the sweep technique, like sweeping like with a broom, that helps us release old subconscious energies from the mind. Beliefs like I'm not good enough, or I'll never get better, or I deserve to be sick, or those types of things can really be emotional blocks to healing. And so this technique is sort of just a way of accessing the subconscious mind and clearing those old things out. But all of it is working with the body's energy system to help us heal, which is totally different than therapy or physical treatments. It just accesses a different part of the body that's usually ignored, which is why often it works when nothing else has, because it's a totally brand new angle to work from. And, you know, sometimes when, or often when we do something different, we get a different result.
And that has to be, you know, such a, I don't want to say a shock to them when they're like, I did all this for so many years, and then suddenly, you know, they come to you, they work with your processes, and this works. They must be like, do they ever say, all those years I wasted?
Yes, and I felt like that too. It was like, oh my gosh, all this time I've been doing these expensive treatments, a lot of treatments that, you know, I had negative side effects from, and all along I could have done this. But I also think there's something to be said for that we come to something when we're ready to come to it. And
yes,
I guess I wasn't ready earlier on, you know. It took me about 10 years of being really sick to come to this. And so, you know, I think every move we make, everything we do in our life counts for something, towards some experience, learning opportunity, you know, it's all getting us to where we need to be.
And I believe that too.
It's easy to look back and say, oh, we wasted that time, but I really don't believe that any time is wasted.
No, I don't either. And how did you personally find out that energy work worked? Like in your own journey?
Yeah. So I basically discovered sort of the idea of energy therapy through acupuncture. So I had, in addition to all of my, you know, Lyme disease and arthritis and all those things, I had a lot of problems with my menstrual cycle. I had something called endometriosis, which causes severe pain during the menstrual cycle, and also immune system issues and such. And so I actually ended up trying acupuncture for that and noticed a difference. I had had 5 surgeries previous to trying, you know, to acupuncture, and noticed a difference in my menstrual cycle, which was a huge thing for me because every month I would end up in the hospital, in the emergency room, in such excruciating pain. I couldn't stand. I couldn't walk. It was terrible. And so I noticed a little bit of movement with acupuncture, which, you know, I was going to a couple of times a week and started learning about stuck energy in the body and how acupuncture opens that up. And I started to just kind of ask myself, well, what's making the energy stuck in the first place? My acupuncturist was amazing and would always say, you know, your energy's stuck here and this is releasing it. And then I started just questioning, you know, well, wait, why is it stuck in the first place? And that's when I learned the connection between emotions and the energy body, and then the energy body and the physical body. And I thought, wait, maybe I can shortcut this. And to this day, I still go to regular acupuncture treatments. I love acupuncture for, you know, making sure the body stays balanced. I don't do yoga. I don't meditate. So acupuncture is kind of my self-care that I love to do. It's like getting a massage for me. It just feels so grounding and balancing. But what I realized was that there was something I could do in terms of accessing my energy body and clearing out those emotions, so that acupuncture, I didn't need consistent acupuncture to be improving. So I sort of felt like dealing with the emotions was getting to the root of the problem. And I do think acupuncture probably does that eventually. But for me and my personality, I really wanted to figure out what it was so that I could just feel well. You know, after all the years of getting treatments and going to the doctor and going to these people and that people, I just wanted to not be so high maintenance. I hate to say it like that, but I didn't want to have to go somewhere several times a week. I didn't want to have to keep doing this or be worried if I missed an appointment, I would feel sick. And so dealing with my emotions was a way that I got to the root of the problem and that I really healed myself to the core so that I don't have to be scared every little thing will throw me off or cause me to relapse.
So your Lyme disease, you've been able to live in peace with it?
Yes, I absolutely. I've had no symptoms for, it's been almost 10 years now. I mean, I definitely have moved on from Lyme disease.
And just, you know, for you to be able to say that out loud knows what can be done with your clients, because you're living proof to
absolutely.
Go from that kind of struggle to what you're experiencing now.
Absolutely.
We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, I want to talk about something I've heard a lot of different conversations about, and that's about, is anxiety inherited? Because sometimes you do see it in families. So I'd love to get your take on it, especially because of the energetic and spiritual components of it. We'll be back in a moment. I'm with Amy B. Scheer, author of How to Heal Yourself from Anxiety When No One Else Can, as well as other books. Be sure to learn more about her at amybscheer.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on Om Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations, and I'm your host, Linda Joy. And today I'm talking with Amy B. Scheer, and we're talking about anxiety. And come on, raise your hand. Many of us have suffered with it, and I've been pretty open about my journey over the last few decades. So right before the break, Amy, I had asked what your thoughts were about whether anxiety is inherited, because sometimes we do see it in families. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely feel like there are aspects of anxiety that's inherited. Some of it can be learned, you know, as we talked about, anxiety is when we suppress our emotions over a period of time. And sometimes we learn the pattern of suppressing emotions from our parents, from our families, from our culture. But also, you know, emotions and energy can get passed down just like DNA gets passed down. And when our parents and our ancestors don't process their emotions, or they weren't, you know, in their time weren't safe to express their emotions, that energy can definitely get passed down to us. And I definitely cleared a lot of inherited energy. My grandparents and uncle were survivors of the Holocaust, and I definitely felt that a lot of that energy was passed down to me. And this isn't the realization that some anxiety or aspects of anxiety are inherited is not an excuse to blame our parents and our ancestors. This happens in every family, that things just get passed down. That's how it works. And even though it's not ours, you know, it's still our responsibility to clear it from our bodies if it's affecting us. A lot of people that experience inherited aspects of anxiety will tell me, you know, they've always felt the way they feel, or they feel like there's kind of a black cloud over them, or they have no point of origin for how they feel. Like they really, when they're truthful with themselves and they look deep, they really can't figure out why this is happening. Those are all sort of signs that there may be an aspect of inherited energy contributing.
Yeah, I see it. I have friends, family who really struggle. It's now on the third generation. And that's why I was really curious about that question. But I believe that we all have the power to shift our own story. And I'm living proof, you know, that I broke the cycle in my family. So that gives, I hope, gives the listeners hope that just because it has been in your family doesn't mean it has to continue to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And often, you know, there's someone in the family that's sort of just divinely placed in some way, or, you know, sort of given the opportunity to clear all this stuff so that it's not passed down and passed down and passed down. And some of us with those big physical and emotional challenges are just the person who can do that, you know, through this work.
And I remember one of my younger brothers, I'm the oldest, saying to me, to watch everything you've gone through and come out into the light, and everything gave him hope to start the journey. Because I think you get to a point, and everyone's levels of anxiety are different, right? And some it can cross over into depression. We won't go into that that conversation. But sometimes you hold the story of this is never going to change. But when you see someone change, like your client saw you change, now they're changing, it gives hope to others.
Absolutely. And sometimes we need to see that it's possible, because in a world where sometimes things feel impossible, and of course when you're experiencing anxiety, everything feels difficult and like a struggle and impossible. And this work doesn't take hours a day. I mean, you know, I have my clients doing about 20 minutes a day as a goal. It doesn't take hours a day, but sort of chipping away at the big pile of stuff that we've gotten buried under, that makes a difference. And even releasing, you know, a few emotions or changing one of those beliefs with the sweep technique, like I shared, even just one little thing can make a huge difference to how you feel.
And that's powerful. You know, it's just so hopeful. So in our last few minutes that we have, I'd love to hear, is there something, if someone is struggling with anxiety today, is there a process you can walk us through today, or a tip or strategy you can share?
Sure. So I'll pair this technique with the suggestion that we talked about earlier, which is really tuning into what emotion or emotions you're feeling. So when you're feeling anxious and you ask yourself that question, what's the real emotion under this? I invite you to pair it with tapping on your thymus gland. And it's your thymus gland, T-H-Y-M-U-S, that's the master gland of your immune system. It sits underneath or below your behind your breastbone, and your thymus gland is connected to not only your immune system but your entire energy system. And tapping your thymus gland with your fingertips is hugely helpful in releasing stuck emotions in your body. And so what you can do once you've identified how you're really feeling, if you're really feeling angry or sad or fearful, if you tap continuously on your thymus gland as you take big deep breaths, that can help let it go. So your thymus gland, if you find where you would tie a tie, kind of on the notch of your neck, and you go about an inch below, some of you may feel a raised area in your breastbone. Your thymus gland sits right behind that. So tapping right there about an inch below where a tie would be tied is where you would tap to help move that emotion out of your body, out of your energy system. So you can either tap and take big deep breaths, or you can do what I like to do, which is kind of repeat the mantra, let go, let go, let go, let go, let go, let go, as you tap. And you can tap from anywhere from 15 seconds to a couple of minutes just to help move that energy out of your body. And I like to use the mantra of let go because I feel like when we have anxiety, it's because of the pattern of holding on. And that helps us sort of reprogram ourselves to let go.
I love that. It's so funny. I just organically tap there a lot, but I never did the mantras in that. But I find, like, sometimes when I'm watching TV, my honey goes, what are you doing? I go, and I'm tapping. It's right below that little indent in your throat with the two little lumps on the side, right?
Isn't that funny? So we're actually drawn to that area because it's a stress releaser, but most people don't know why they're doing that.
I didn't. He just said it to me two nights ago. He goes, if you keep that up, you're going to have a bruise. And I go, keep what up? He goes, you're tapping your chest. And I'm like, it's calming.
Yes, it is. And it actually works. And it's even more powerful if you're tapping with the intention of releasing something specific. Remember, when we really name it and acknowledge that we're feeling it, it moves out of our body much faster. When we suppress it and ignore it, it gets stuck. So if you pair your tapping, which you were already doing, with the intention of releasing something specific, like nervousness or feeling, you know, uncertain or whatever, that makes it even more powerful.
I love that organically, a part of me knew to do it. But now if I combine what you said and bring it in. And it's funny because I'm thinking of what day of the week that was. That was 2 days ago. And, of course, coming back from a long holiday weekend to a very full client schedule, lots of calls, and some tech glitches at the end of the night when we were watching TV, I was doing that. It was like I could feel some stuff in my body. Like I'm bringing myself back to that moment. So I think I was just organically knowing something was wonky in my energy.
Absolutely. I love it.
Well, what I love about the strategy and that you just shared, it can be done anywhere. Anyone can do it because you could even teach a child that, right? And it's empowering because you're putting the power of shifting in our hands, not in the hands of someone else, like doctor or whatever. It's like you're empowering your clients.
Right. And so often, you know, feeling like we can't do anything to help ourselves only causes more anxiety. So if you're relying on any practitioner or medication or whatever it is to help you feel better, if you're relying on that alone, that can actually increase anxiety. Of course, it's always good to use the support that you need, whether it's, you know, a natural supplement or medication or nothing wrong with seeing practitioners, nothing wrong with any of that.
No.
There should be no shame. But you have to have your own practices so that if those things aren't available or aren't working, you can feel safe in your own hands.
Exactly. I think of it as it's an adjunct to everything else.
Absolutely.
You know, if it's a Saturday morning, you can't call your practitioner up. But the tool you shared puts the power, it's comforting to say, oh, I got this. I have a tool right here in my little spiritual tool chest or emotional tool chest. So thank you. I really appreciate you sharing that one. And there was a lesson in it for me too, and I didn't even know that.
Of course, your lesson was that you were smarter than you even knew, right?
Yeah, and I think it's just our inner wisdom leads the way. And our inner wisdom, I believe, and I found in my own healing journey, is always trying to give us signs and signals and guidance. It's just we have to what you said earlier, be still enough to listen.
Yes.
Well, my friend, I am so glad that you were able to join me today to share your wisdom, share this strategy, and have this conversation, which I think is so needed. And for those of you who are struggling with any type of anxiety or have a loved one that is, I invite you to go to Amy's website, which is amybshear.com. And I want to spell that. It's SCHER.com. And I want you to learn more about her books, her programs, and her services. Her website has some amazing content on it. And as always, I love bringing you inspirational guidance and experts that will support you in living your best life, because you deserve to be living your best life. So thank you for joining us today. I look forward to having you all with me next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, blessings, my friend.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.